Lord Jesus, in this moment of created time, help us to understand the simplicity of your life. Help us, Lord Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, to enter into the reality of your words. Lord Jesus, truly tonight, let us begin to look at one another as you have looked at us. Lord Jesus, tonight, let husband begin to look at wife the way you've looked at her. And let the wife begin to look at the husband the way you've looked. And Lord Jesus, tonight, let the husband and wife look at their children the way you've looked. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said,
amen.
There's just something special about tonight. How many of you here are for the very first time? Raise your hand. Let's see how many of you. My goodness, almost a new crowd. Well, let me just briefly go through, and I'm going to start back. I'll go through it very quickly for you so that you that have been sitting here since Sunday night won't have to be strung out too long in repetition. But what I'd like to do is to give you some idea of what's been happening. Sunday, we started at the liturgy, the preaching of the Word and the celebration of the Eucharist, which is the sacrifice that we offer ourselves to do the will of the Father. And He's simply, the will of the Father is very simple, is that we should love one another the way God's loved us. And Sunday night, we looked at our profession of faith, what we believe, and the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and basically got around to understanding some definition of words, and I'm going to quickly run them by you. We looked at the word holy, which means to be set apart. Let's all go through this with me. Let's show them how well you've learned your classes this week. To be holy is to be
set apart.
All right, now, that simply means that God has chosen each one of us. You didn't choose to come into this world. I didn't choose to come here. God chose me by name and has sent me and has given me the Spirit of God and set me apart to do a work for God. Folks, I really didn't have anything to do with it. All I ever have said to God is yes. All I've ever been able to say to Him is, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I'll tell all you wonderful people something. That's all Mother Teresa's ever said. That's all the Blessed Mother ever said. That's all that Peter ever said. That's all that Jesus ever said was, yes, Father. Yes, Lord. That's all we can say is yes. He has chosen us and set us apart. Our life does not belong to us. It belongs to God because He made it. He died for it. He bought it with a price. He won the battle of death. He destroyed sin and has given us eternal life forever. And while we're here in this temporary place, we are to exercise the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to let the world know that we're sons and daughters of God. Amen. So we're holy. We're a holy people. And folks, we belong to a holy nation. A nation under God. Not a nation under the systems of this world, but under God. Jesus Christ is our president. The Holy Spirit is our Congress, our advocate, our lawyer. He defends us. You know what He charges us? Not guilty. He does. He says, you're not guilty. Jesus paid a price for you. You're not guilty. Every one of you, you're not guilty. You're not guilty. You're not guilty. You're not guilty. Then we looked at the word love, and some of you, it really startled a few of you. A lady came up to me tonight. She couldn't stay, but she said, I just had to come and talk to you. You have ruffled my nest. She looked at me. She says, I've never had anybody talk to me the way you have. I had a lady come up to me one night, and folks, only the rich people are affected by this message. They really get upset. I had a lady come up to me, one of the richest sections of California called Saratoga. They invited me into their parish, and I preach just like I preach anywhere else. That's the only way I know. I don't know how to do two types of sermons. I just can only do one. And this lady came up to me, and she says, "Just who in the hell do you think you are?" She said, "I've never been talked to me in all of my life. I've never been talked to like this." I said, "I, sister, I didn't write this stuff in here. I just made a decision to live it, and I'm quoting Jesus. Now, if you've got a problem, you got a problem with him. You don't have a problem with me. I love you." And that's exactly what this lady came up, and she said, "You know, you've really said some hard things to me, and..." She says, "I really don't know what to do about it." And I said, "Well, can you stay?" She said, "No, I'm in a hurry." So I didn't tell her, you know, right off. I said, "Well, you know, if you had eternal life, you'd never get in a hurry again. You know, if we know we're going to live forever, God's done the work, what are we so frustrated about or anxious or eager? I mean, we ought to be cruising along, folks, you know." The word love, there's three words in the Greek that mean love: agape, philia, and eros. Eros love, I can tell you, is never mentioned in the scripture. It's never mentioned in this Bible, eros love. That's an animal love. You do good to me, I'll do good to you. You give me five, I'll give you five. I'll meet you 50-50. Our relationship is a 50-50 deal. As long as he does 50-50, as long as he does his 50%, I'll do my 50%. Or basically like this. Eros love is, I love the hamburger as long as it's McDonald's. Or if it's fried just right and it doesn't have any grease, I love it. But if it's not just like I want it, I don't love it no more. That's an erotic love, and it's never mentioned in Scripture. And most of us live by an erotic love. As long as my wife looks good, smells good, tastes good, and feels good, I love her. But the minute she has anything or looks any different than the way I like, I don't love her anymore, and I'll go find me another one. It's an erotic love. And, you know, we slam dunk one another. That's the only thing that separates us. Look, don't y'all get mad. I already sense that there's a few people upset at me. And please don't be. I'm just like you are. The only thing I've been given this task to do this up here, and I'm going to do it. So don't get mad at me. Don't let anger despoil a beautiful evening. Filial love is a brotherly love. You know, I feel you, you feel me, and we everybody feel good, you know. And, folks, listen, all of that, all of it is lust. It doesn't have anything to do with God at all. The love that he brought into the world is agape love. That love is willing to suffer without retaliating. There's not a one of you in here has ever accomplished anything. God's done it all. There's not a one of you in here that's ever done anything that you can brag about. God, through the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, has done everything. All things were made through him for us and for our salvation. Our only boast is that Jesus Christ has done it all, and because he's done it all, I can love you, I can suffer with you without retaliating, because my life is forever. I'm just passing through, folks. And that's all. I mean, and some of y'all passing through, too. All of you are. Looks like some of you passing through awful quick. Getting ready any day now. But you know, we'll do everything we can to extend this flesh. Just one more breath. And Jesus, St. Paul said, to be out of this body is to gain. Can't find too many Christians in this country that'll agree with that. So we covered the love, the willingness to suffer without retaliating, and the willingness to serve without getting anything in return. Now, folks, I want to tell you, if we had that attitude, that ends your picket lines, that ends abortion, that ends divorce, that ends lawsuits, that ends courts. I mean, if we're going to get into this, it just ends all that stuff. Sorry about you, lawyers are just going to miss, I mean, you know. But, you know, we need preachers. I mean, you know, we really need preachers. I mean, I don't know whether we need too many or not, because, you know, not too many people are excited about this message I preach. They only come one time. They say, man, you don't listen to that guy no more. I had a... a man come up the other day, and he said, you know, I was trying to get some people to come hear you, but they heard you last year. And you noticed all the new people here tonight and all those that didn't show. If everybody was still coming from Monday night or Sunday night and was here tonight, this place would be packed out. But they only take one night of it. I don't know why. But if we enter into that understanding of love, I love my wife to this point. I'm willing to suffer and not retaliate when she does something wrong. The only wrong that I can ever see in her is the wrong that I've got in myself, or I couldn't see anything wrong in her. Jesus said, why do you try to remove the splinter from your wife's eye when you got a plank in your own? Why do you try to remove the splinter from your kid's eyes when you got a big board in yours? The only way you can see the splinter is you got a plank in yours. It just magnum gets it big, you know. How can we stand a sinner and call a sinner a sinner? Or judge when we're the big... Listen, folks, you're looking at the biggest sinner in the world. How can I call my wife a sinner when I'm bigger than she is? Or my children? I can only serve. Do you know Mother Teresa doesn't go around... She just loves people, you know? She's willing to suffer without retaliating. People slam dunk her. I mean, you folks ought to just know a little bit about that woman and what she has to go through. And the authority that... There's nobody in the world got the authority that she has, and she doesn't demand any of it. You know how we go around demanding authority? I'm in position of authority, and I'm going to run this thing, and you never run nothing. And Mother Teresa goes around, doesn't demand anything, and she's in charge of everything. Because she's not a threat to anybody. You know I'm not a threat to anybody. The words that I preach are, but I'm not. I'm not a threat to nobody. Because these words that we'll preach tonight, you can accept them, reject them. That's strictly up to you. But to know tonight when we finish that if you don't get anything else out of this whole week, know the definition of the agape that Jesus brought into the world and demonstrated to us the lifestyle that we're to live. And I'll start tonight by reading you in 1 Peter, if you'd like to open your books. And we're going to read in 1 Peter the second chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. Now, one of the things that I want you to understand as we read this, that this is the Holy Spirit, the church, God Almighty, speaking to us. We believe that every word that was recorded in this is inspired of the Holy Spirit. It came from normal Christians just like you and I. Peter was a normal Christian. Folks, he was a fisherman. Probably had no education at all. Probably was a big zero. See, you know, the thing that I'm finding out is God has to pick zeros because they don't know nothing or they'd never get into this. It's too hard. I'm serious. If you look at Mother Teresa's life, she's a big zero. She said she's not, you know, she couldn't even light a candle, you know, a little frail, flimsy thing, you know. And Look what she does. She just, you know, picks up people, cleans maggots, and loves them and holds them as they die. That's all she does. She just loves people. She loves people. And you know, that's all Jesus came to teach us, to love one another. Be willing to suffer with one another. Don't strike out, but love. Don't kill, but love. That's all he tried to teach us. And you know, we rejected that. You know, they rejected it back then. You know, it says that we prefer darkness over light. We prefer to hate and kill than to love. You know that? It's amazing. We just prefer, we prefer a lie over the truth. It's incredible. Listen to this. This is, in fact, I'm reading from the 21st verse, the second chapter. This, in fact, is what you are called to do. God is speaking to us, and through Peter, he's saying, this is what you're supposed to do, Bill, John, Susie, Mary, Charlie. This is what you're supposed to do. Because Jesus Christ suffered for you and left an example for you to follow the way he took. What did he do? He suffered without retaliating. They spit in his face. They called him names. They thorned him with crowns. They beat his back. They plucked his beard and they took him to the cross and nailed it to him. And no perjury ever left his mouth. This is the way we're supposed to be as ambassadors to the kingdom. This is the only walk we can take. You can't take another walk. If nothing else works. This is the way we're supposed to respond. This is where God says, in due season, I will raise you up. Our biggest problem is we've been trying to raise ourselves up. We've tried to make a reputation for ourselves. If we can get enough money, enough position, and get high enough, all of a sudden, we can become strong enough to do something. Jesus said, no, take an attitude, a simplistic life, a humble life, and he says, I'll raise you up. Isn't that what Mother Teresa did? She took a simple life of just helping maggot-eating people, dying people, people that were starving to death right on the streets of Calcutta, just walking around helping them. And do you know what? God has raised her up where she's one of the most powerful women in the world. She walks into the United Nations. They all stand up and start clapping. She walked into Harvard University and said, you boys and girls shouldn't be sleeping with one another. Call them boys and girls. If the President of the United States had done that, they'd have booted him right out of the place. Boys and girls, you're doing wrong. Boys and girls, isn't that something? Nobody else could have got away with that. She pulled it off slick as a whistle. And they all sit and listen. She didn't demand any respect from them. She came as a servant. Jesus came as a servant. And folks, if we're going to be Christian, we've got to come as servants. And the greatest place that you can begin to serve is in your family. This is the way we're to act. Because of his suffering, because of the way he suffered, that's the example we're to take. People, you know how folks, you're abused. You know how people, your husband will take advantage of you sometimes. Your kids will take advantage of you. That's abuse. They'll say hard things to you. They'll criticize you. They might call you fat. If you're too fat, they'll call you fat. If you're too skinny, they'll call you skinny. If you're getting gray, they'll call you old gray-headed grandma. You know, you're... Our tongue is constantly beating one another up. And they did this to Jesus, and he didn't even say nothing. He said, that's all right. Hallelujah. This world's not my home. I'm going to be home with the Father. Now, folks, we all know that we're leaving here, so it shouldn't be hard for us to live this. Now, if you're not going to die, you know, y'all are excused. You can get up and leave. But if you're going to die, I would highly recommend that you listen to this. You know, and if it makes you feel uncomfortable, just know I had to go through this too. I still feel uncomfortable with it. He had done nothing wrong, and there had been no perjury in his mouth. Jesus had never told a lie. He hadn't done anything wrong. He was insulted and did not retaliate with insult. The willingness to suffer without retaliating. He did not answer back the critics and the accusers that were condemning him. He didn't say, "Now you fellas wait till you get to heaven. I got something. I'm going to slap you right in the big puss with you. You guys know who you're messing with? It's God, and I'll get you." He didn't say that. You know what he said? He said, "Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing." He was insulted, did not retaliate with insult. When he was tortured, he made no threat, but he put his trust in the righteous judge. My problem, I can't say what your problem is, but I know what my problem. My problem was, folks, that I didn't put my trust in God. I put my trust in my ability and what I could do. I was extremely successful. I had a keen ability to make money. I could make it. Boy, when everybody else was floundering, I'd come straking through there and just rake it up. I had an ability. I had this great gift of just being able to get whatever I wanted. Now, I also knew that I had to be patient in getting it. I always waited for the lame ducks to come along. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you? And I took advantage of them. I got to tell you this story. I had a guy that had a business next door to me. I had this big restaurant. And for years, I'd looked at that property and lusted after it. Boy, if I just had that property, I could extend my restaurant, put me in a nice lounge, create me some office spaces. I mean, boy, and the place was run down. This guy had been there for about 25 years, had an old laundry, you know, one of these, you know that kind of laundry, you know, that every time you'd hit it, the steam would fly. And he got one of his legs shot off in World War II, and it's a peg leg. And that guy walked around, and it'd get hot in the summertime, and his peg leg would start to bleed. The stump. And he'd do everything he could to keep it from bleeding. He couldn't stop it. And one day he was over at my restaurant having a beer. And he said, "You know, my leg's bleeding again." I said, "You better go get it fixed." He said, "They can't fix it." He said, "I reckon I'm going to have to retire." I said, "What you going to do with that mess you got next door?" Oh, he says, "I hope I can get a little bit out of it." He said, "I know it ain't worth much." Now, this is 15 years ago, 20 years ago. He said, "Oh, I can't get much out of it. But I got to get something out of it because I don't have, you know, my retirement check is just very little." Then I said, "Well, when you make a decision on what you want for it, come around and I might talk to you." And the old boy quoted me a price. I said, "What?" I said, "That place ain't worth half that. What are you trying to do, rob me?" He said, "Well, it's going to take that for me to live." I said, "Well, don't expect me to give it to you. Go sell that thing somewhere else." The next day, listen to this, folks. I want to tell you, how slick we are. Next day, a guy walked in my restaurant because this guy put a big for sale sign up out there. I just wouldn't look at it. He put a big for sale sign up, and a guy walked in me and said, "Who owns that property next door?" I said, "I do." He said, "Well, I'm from Atlanta." He was from Atlanta, and I'm in charge of domestic finance, and we've been looking for a place to open a shop. I said, "Well, I got it for you." He said, "But man, we don't want it looking like that." I said, "Well, we'll remodel it the way you want it." He said, "When could you have it ready?" I said, "When do you need it?" He said, "We need it by the first of the year." And I think it was in September or October. I said, "I can have it for you. Just tell me what you want. Write out a contract, send it to me, give me the first and the last month's payments, and a binder of $5,000. I said, "You got it." You know, the guy did it, and I didn't even own the property. I took the money, went over to the bank, had a friend call the guy and buy the property for me so he wouldn't know it was me, and beat him down to practically nothing on the phone, and in 3 months moved a guy in. Folks, that's just one business dealing I had. You know, I was not willing to suffer in that without retaliating. I'd done everything I could to snuff the guy, my brother. It's amazing what we do to one another. Now, that's just one example of some of the things I used to do. I was a wealthy man. Folks, I'm absolutely convinced most of our wealth comes from taking advantage of people. That's the way it comes. And listen to the life that Jesus gave us to live. And I'm hoping that, I'm just hoping that I can live it. That's the reason I preach it every day. Because every day I preach it, I said, Lord, I've got to make a decision to live this. Yep, got to do that. Boy, that's tough. He was insulted and did not retaliate with insult. When he was tortured, he made no threats. He put his trust in the righteous judge. I've learned to do that. I've learned to put my trust in God, not trust in my ability. It was a long process for me. I had to work at it every day because I knew what I could do. I knew I could see opportunities. Now listen to this. He was bearing my faults in his own body on the cross so that we too might die to our faults and live for holiness. That I would no longer live for this flesh, but I would be willing to die for the desires of this flesh and live for holiness so that the light of God could shine through me and convince the world that God is God. Our problem is today we really don't believe that he's God. It's much easier for us to be agnostic or atheist, or humanist. You know, whatever feels good, tastes good, smells good, get on it. You know, have your fling. Have a Michelob weekend. Did y'all ever hear those commercials, Michelob weekend? I used to have them. Wake up on Monday with a big hangover. Through his wounds, you have been healed. We've had a relationship. Our relationship with God was healed through the act of the Lord Jesus Christ when he went to the cross. It was healed. God is no longer an enemy of mine. Jesus has made it right. He's made a right standing with me. God's no longer holding my faults against me. And so I no longer hold any faults against you. You should no longer hold any faults against me. We should no longer look at one another and judge one another anymore. We should look at one another and look to edify and strengthen and help one another. Listen to this. You remember the Samaritan story? If you'll read history, a Samaritan to a Jew was a dog. I mean, they were the lowest form of life on this earth. And a lawyer asked Jesus one day, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he told him about a story of a guy laying out by the road that had been overcome by a robber. And he said, the priest went by, the church went by, you and I went by. I'm not talking about Father, I'm talking about the church. The royal priesthood, the chosen of God, went by the guy and looked at him. And kept on walking. Went on the other side of the road. And a Levite came by. Just a citizen. An American citizen. Came by. And looked at him and walked around. And here come a dog. A Samaritan. People that weren't even... The Jews wouldn't even walk through their communities. They were nobodies. And... the Samaritan gave aid to the wounded. And then Jesus asked the lawyer, he said, which has done the right thing? And the guy said, the Samaritan. Now, I want y'all to listen to this. Today, if Jesus stood up here and spoke this to us, he would be speaking to us as his people, Roman Catholics. He would say this, okay, the Roman Catholics came by and saw a guy that wouldn't do nothing. Let him lay there. And here come an American citizen walked by, didn't do nothing, and along walked a Buddhist and helped the guy. Which one's got eternal life? I'm going to tell you, wonderful saint, something. The people that do the will of the Father, the people that work in the words that Jesus brought are the ones that are going to go to heaven. Jesus said, you do my words, you will see me as I am. There's a lot of people going to go to heaven that have no idea that Jesus is the one that's taking them. They're going to do the principles of Almighty God. They'll live the love principles. Like Mother Teresa, those people in India have never heard of Jesus. And boy, they're just boogieing. Because they're living the principles. They're doing what Jesus has called them to do. That's what salvation is. And Jesus tells us that He died for our faults, and through His wounds we were healed. You have gone astray like sheep, but now you have come back to the shepherd, the guardian of our soul. And folks, we do that in a spirit of love. Now what I want to do, I want to take this attitude, this general theme of love, and I'm just going to pick a scripture, and you can pick any one you want to. In fact, one night I'm going to start out and say, pick a scripture, we'll preach it.